Today, Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Chaf Aleph. We begin the brand new third parak, Kakorias HaMegillah, which begins halfway down the Daf already, Chaf Aleph Omer Aleph. And we begin with the Mishnah. Hakorias HaMegillah, a person who is reading the Megillah is allowed to read it Omed V'Yoshev. As Rashi says, Imrotza Omed, Imrotza Yoshev. If he wishes to, he can read it standing up. If he wishes to, he can read it sitting down. Now this is the Din L'Chatchila. In Shulchan Aruch, it is brought down that if you're doing it for the Tzibur, then you definitely should be doing it standing up, Al Tkava at Tzibur. And for the Brachos, everybody agrees that you should be standing up as well. And this idea is at least l'chatchila that a person technically could be reading and yotzi the Megillah while you're sitting down is not usually carried out in practice, except if you're reading it privately for a small group of people or for one person, then you technically would be allowed to go and read it sitting down. Now, he tells us another din, kiro echad or kiro shnayim, whether one person is reading the Megillah or even if there are more than one people reading the Megillah, Yatsu, a person is able to fulfill his obligation because we say that the mitzvah is so chaviva to him, is so dear to him, that he'll be able to follow the one person who's reading from the Megillah that he wants to and not get mixed up because of his love and his desire to do this mitzvah. So therefore, the normal rule of Ein Shnei Kolos Nishmoyim Ki Echad that Rashi brings down, Trei Koli Lo Mishtamoy, doesn't apply in this situation by the Megillah because of your love, chavivas, for the mitzvah. Next in. Makom shenagu levarech yivarech, v'shelo levarech lo yivarech. The Mishnah is telling us that in a place where they have the custom to make the bracha, they would make a bracha, but in a place that had a custom not to make a bracha, they would not make a bracha. The Gemara will explain, this is talking about the bracha after the Megillah reading, what we call Haravis Rivenu, Hadonis Dinenu. That, there is a minhag to say it, minhag not to say it. We paskin l'maisa, that you only say it if you have a minion, but you don't say it if you don't have a minion. But in those days, there were some places that would say it, some places would not say it. But everybody agrees that the three brachas was called manach. We'll see in the Gemara, we call manach, that you say al mikra megillah, that's the mem, and you say shasa nisim, that's the nun, and then the ches is for the sheikh yanu, what's called manach. Everybody agrees that you make those three brachos. And as I pointed out before, certainly at least for the first two, one should be standing. The minhag is you stand for all three, because the first two are birchas ha-mitzvah, so birchas ha-mitzvah you normally stand up for. Technically, the sheikh yanu, you could sit down, but again, the minhag is that both the person making the bracha as well as the tzibur stands up for all three of the first brachos, and there is no machlokas. Everybody agrees that you make those brachos over las yosin, right before you read the Megillah, as we'll see in the Gemara. Then the next din, it says, Bisheni v'chamishi, on Mondays and on Thursdays. Now, we have the word just bishabbos. In Rashi, the gear says, u bishabbos b'mincha. And that really means, in that talking here about sheni chamishi on Shabbos at mincha time, we're talking about bisheni chamishi on Monday and Thursdays in the morning, and as well as Shabbos at mincha time, we have the minhag to read the Torah as well, Korin Shlosha, and we only have three aliyahs at that point. We'll see, you're not allowed to add to that. We don't make hosafas on a Monday or Thursday or on a Shabbos afternoon by Mincha. We'll learn more about this in the Gemara. And Ein Pochasin Mehen Vein Mosifin Aleihem. You're not allowed to have less, you can't have two aliyahs, and you can't have four aliyahs. And we'll see in the Gemara, because this has to do with Tircha, the Tzibur. It would be too much of a Tircha. The people are rushing to go to work on Mondays and Thursdays, and they've been spending the whole day learning Torah in the afternoon. It's getting close to the Shkia, so therefore, we want them to be able to finish Mincha before the Shkia. You have to say Shmoneh Esrei, ideally before the Shkia, so therefore, we don't add on aliyahs over here as well. And of course, the minimum amount that we ever have for Elaining is three people. So that's why Ein Pochasin, you're not allowed less than three, but also Ein Mosif, we don't make Hosafas on these times, Monday, Thursday, or Shabbos afternoon Mincha. Likewise, Ein Maftirin Benavi, there is no Haftorah that we read after a normal Monday or Thursday laning, nor at Shabbos Mincha time. Tosfos has an interesting idea. He brings down that there was at one time the recitation of a Haftorah from Ksuvim that they would read on Shabbos afternoon, but that's no longer extant. The one time that we do have a Haftorah by Mincha is by a Tainis. And Tosfos asks the question, how can we say the Haftorah by a Tainis by Mincha time, and we don't say it by Shachris time? So he brings down, based upon the pasuk, it says, Shamru mishpat vasu tzedakah, which is what we say in the Haftorah, the agra de tanisa tzedakah, and the whole reward for the tainis is the fact that you're doing a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and you do that le'eserev, right around mincha time, towards the evening, towards the time of the shkia, and therefore, nachon le'omro ba'erev, achar shasu tzedakah, and therefore, after you do this cheshbon ha-nefesh, and you give tzedakah, the giving of the tzedakah, that's the rule for the tainis. It's a beautiful minhag. I mentioned many times that people go and give the amount of money they would have spent on food at the tainis to tzedakah. So you're doing this at the time of Mincha in the afternoon, that's why it's appropriate to read this Haftorah then. Okay. But we don't have Haftorah, as the Mishnah told us, Zayim Haftir Minavi, on a Monday or Thursday, there is not a Haftorah in the morning, and on Shabbos Mincha, with the one exception of Yom Kippur, that we have by Mincha the Haftorah there, and by a Tainis, otherwise normally we don't have a Haftorah by Mincha on Shabbos afternoon. Now, the next din, HaPoseach V'HaChosem BaTorah Mevorach L'Fonel Echra. The first one to get an Aliyah, and the last one to get an Aliyah, are really technically the only ones that make a bracha. The first one to get the Aliyah makes a bracha to start off the laning, and then technically he doesn't have to make a bracha afterwards. Our minhag, of course, is that we do. And then the next person doesn't have to make a bracha before or after the Aliyah. It's only the last person that would make a bracha after the conclusion of the laning for everybody. So HaPoseach, the one who makes the first, who gets the first Aliyah, makes a bracha Rishona, Ashabacha Vonim before he gets the Aliyah. And then HaChosein, the one who gets the last Aliyah, makes Asher Nos Alonu Teras Emes. They are the only ones that make the bracha L'Fono V'Lachra. Then we continue. The Mishnah tells us, B'Roshei Chadoshim U'V'Chol Shemoyd, on Rosh Chodesh and on Chol Hamoed, Koren Arba. There are four people that get Aliyahs. Again, here too, in Pakistan, we don't have less. You need to have four. You have to distinguish it from a regular day, as we'll see in the Gemara. So therefore, we have to have a fourth Aliyah. However, since people are still going to work, even on Rosh Chodesh, you're allowed to work, and on Chol Hamoed, you're allowed to do Dover Aveid, for example, something that's going to cause you financial loss, you're allowed to go do that. So therefore, we don't want to be matriarch to people, and therefore, the Ein Mosif in the land, we don't make Kosafos on Rosh Chodesh or on Chol Hamoed. Also here too, Ein Maftir Benavi, there is no Haftorah on these days. And likewise over here too, only the first person who gets the Aliyah makes the bracha before, and only the last person who gets the Aliyah makes the bracha afterwards. Again, nowadays the minhag is that every person makes the bracha before and after his Aliyah. And then the Mishnah tells us, this is the rule, Kol Sheyesh Bo Musaf, any day that there is a Musaf, such as Rosh Chodesh or Chol Hamoed. However, there ain't no Yontif, there is no Issur Melacha. It's not a Yontif in that respect of Issur Melacha, so Korin Arba, we only have four Aliyos. And then we'll discuss what is this coming to include. Is that we said many times, Zaklal, we don't have general rules that are stated. They're usually coming to bring us an additional din. Then the Mishnah continues and says, B'yantiv, on Yantiv itself, how many Aliyahs are there on the regular lading? Five. Chamisha. And here there's a big machlokas. Are you allowed to be Mosif or not? You certainly can't make less, but the question is, can you make Kosafos on Yantiv? So the minhag is normally not to, albeit we'll see that this is a machlokas, and technically one could make Kosaf on Yantiv. Yom Kippurim, on Yom Kippur, we have Shisha. Again, there is an additional idea that's brought forth by Yontif, so that's why you have to have more than on Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed, and there's an additional Issur Kares, an additional idea of Yom Kippur, so therefore it has to have more people called up to the Torah, six. And again, we normally don't make a Hosafa, but again, technically you're allowed to. And then it says, the Shabbos, and on Shabbos we all know that there are minimum Shiva, seven Aliyos, and here it says, Ein pochasin mehen avo mosif naleyen. You're not allowed to have less than seven aliyahs on Shabbos, but you're allowed to make more. Now, that's the simple way that we understand this halach l'maisa, but technically there are those that say that this goes as well on Yontif and on Yom Kippur, that you could technically have hosafos on those days if you needed to. Again, the minhag is usually not to, except under somewhat extenuating circumstances, where maybe you have a person that are multiple chiyuvim and you can't get around without making a suffer, so then we do allow. But technically, our custom is normally that on Yontif you have five aliyahs, that's it. On Yom Kippur you have six aliyahs, that's it. And then on Shabbos, you have a minimum of seven aliyahs and you can make a suffer. Lav dafka that it's recommended that you do, but you're allowed to. Okay. And then on all of these days, Yontif, Yom Kippur, and on Shabbos, Umavtir Minavi, we do have Haftorah. And likewise over here too, only the first and last person make the bracha before and afterwards respectively. And again, we'll see in the Gemara that our minhag nowadays is not like this because of the yotzim, the people that are leaving, or the nechnasim, the people that are coming in. They shouldn't think that there are less than three psukim for an aliyah, as we will see. So therefore, we always make a bracha before and after we get an aliyah. Okay, that's the Mishnah. A lot of things in this Mishnah, chock full of laning halachos, and we start off with the Gemara Tana. We learned in the following brisa, Masha Ein Kein Batorah, when the Mishnah said that the Megillah is allowed to be read, Omed V'Yoshev, if you want, you can read it standing up. If you want, you can read it sitting down. That's true for the Megillah, but is not the halacha in regards to laning from the Torah. When you're laning from the Torah, as Rashi says, She'ein Korin B'Torah B'Tzibur Miyushev, it's improper to read from the Torah while you're sitting down. Again, assuming the person is physically able to stand up, so then he has to read the Torah while he is standing up. Now, where do we see this din by the Torah? So Amar Rabbi Avo tells us it's based upon the following pasuk. The pasuk says in Devarim, Yomar Kro, Yata Po Amod Imadi. Kosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you stay here with me. And what does this mean exactly? You're standing here with me. Po Amod Imadi. Amar Rabbi Avo said about this pasuk, Yomali Mikra Kosim. It wasn't the fact that the Torah wrote these words itself that stand here with me. Yev Shalom, it would be blasphemous for a person to say this himself, as if to say, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also standing. He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, stand here with me, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing, and that's how we darish now that you're supposed to stand while you're learning the Torah, while saying the Torah. Now, all of these, as I mentioned many times, when we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any sort of physical way, they're all anthropomorphisms for us to try to be able to comprehend what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stand. He doesn't have a body. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have emotions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any of the things. The Yod Chazakoh, he doesn't have a strong hand. These are all descriptive terms for us to be able to have an inkling as to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, but they're not to be taken in any way literally. Okay. Furthermore, Rabbi Avo adds on to this and he says, Minayin l'rav shelo yoshev agabi mita v'yishana l'tamido agabi karka. From here we can learn out as well that the Rav, the one who's giving the Shia, he shouldn't be seated in a higher place, and the Tamidim are in a lower place. They should all be sitting on the same level. Shenemar, based upon this pasuk as well, v'yata po amod imodi, you should stand here with me. In other words, they both should be on the same level, that the Rav and the Talmud should both be sitting down on the same level, or standing up as it was in those days on the same level. First of all, we learned in the Brights, the Tanur Rabbanon, Miyamos Moshe, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, we had Rabban Gamliel, until the death of Rabban Gamliel, Lo Yulim Eidim Torah Lemumet. Everybody would learn Torah while they were standing up. They were much stronger physically and more powerful than we were, and therefore they would learn Torah while they were standing up, as covered at Torah. However, from the time of Rabban Gamliel's death, Mishemez Rabban Gamliel, Yarat Choli Liolam, the world became weaker at that time, and therefore people now are sitting down when they learn Torah if they want to. Now you'll have to learn Torah while you're sitting down. Behind it is not, and that's what we learn in the Mishnah and Sota, where it tells us, Mishmeis Rabban Gamliel, at the end of Sota, goes through a whole bunch of great Tanoim and Amoraim. When they passed away, certain things were lost to the world. So that's why it says over there in Sota, when Rabban Gamliel passed away, Batol Kavanah Torah. This beautiful Kavanah Torah of standing while you're learning was no longer capable of being done, and that was taken from the world. Since we talked a little bit about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe with Matan Torah, so there seems to be a stira between two psukim that we're now going to resolve. Pasuk Echad Omer, one pasuk tells us, the Eshev Bahar, it says that I will go and sit down on the mountain. Because of Echad Omer, Vanochi Amadati Bahar. The other one says, I will stand up by the mountain. So which one is it? Were they sitting or were they standing? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav tells us, Omeid Velomeid, when Moshe Rabbeinu was learning the Torah directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he stood up. As we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol Amodi Modi was standing with him, so of course Moshe Rabbeinu stood up too. And then, however, when he was chazering, Yoshev Vishona, when he was by himself chazering over what HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him, so then he would be able to be sitting down. That's Rav's understanding, the reconcile the two psukim where it says he was sitting, he was standing. Ruchina has a different reconciliation. Ruchina Amar, lo omeid, lo yoshev, el shocha. It's to show us that he wasn't fully standing, he wasn't fully seated, he was bent over, he was shocha, he was in submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a bent over, in a stooped position, in a bowed position to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Ruchanina starts. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Ein Yeshiva El Loshon Akova. He says the whole Loshon over here, Bo'eshev Bahar, doesn't mean sitting. It has nothing to do with the position of your body. What it has to do is a Loshon of Akova. Ikud means to stay in one place. And that's what it meant. He stayed there in one place. Shenemar, Bateshu Bekadesh Yomim Rabim. They stayed there for a certain period of time. And therefore, it means that they, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't leave there. He stayed there. B'lav Davka, his position, sitting or standing. Okay. Another teretz, Rav Amar, Rakos. It depends what you're learning. If you're learning Rakos, Rashi says, Dvarim Rakim, Vinochim, Shodim Mahir, Lishamon. If it's relatively easy type of learning, a person could pick it up very quickly. It's softer. It's easier to understand. So therefore, movement. That you can do while you're standing up and be able to comprehend it easily. The Kashos, but the things that really are difficult, sugi, you have to really delve into, you have to schwitz over them to understand them, that the Kashos you could do miyushav, you could do the sitting down. So these are the four terutzim that we bring down over here to explain the reconciliation, how Moshe, it says, was sitting, and also he was standing. And we quote the Mishnah, it said, Kuro Echad, if one person read the Megillah, or even if multiple people read the Megillah, Karushnayim, even two or more, and Shulchan Aruch brought down two or ten, Even multiple people reading Megillah, we say a person is able to concentrate on the one that he is trying to fulfill the mitzvah with and not miss any words, and that is acceptable. V'chule. Okay, we turn to Chof Aleph Omud Beis, and we dodge this, and we say, Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Masha Ein Kem BaTorah. Here too, we say, as opposed to the din in the Torah, which you're not allowed to have more than one person read. One person only can read. You can't have multiple people reading the Torah at the same time and expect anybody to be Yotze. Masha Ein Kein Bat Torah. Now, where do we know this from? Tana Rabban, within the Braisa, B'Torah, Echad Kore, V'Echad Matagim. When you're laning from the Torah, you had one person laning from the Torah, and they used to have a custom, which is still extant in some real Sephardi communities today. We have the Echad Matagim. I think in the Temani population, they still have this concept of Matagim, the person who would explain. He would read Unkelis. He would explain what was going on. Unkelus, Tagim Unkelus was in the vernacular language, so they'd read the Pasuk in Chumash, they didn't know necessarily what it meant, and then somebody would explain it. After each Pasuk, they would explain it. That was called the Metagim. So one person would read for the Torah, and one person would read Metagim. You didn't have multiple people doing this. However, Obavad, Shloye Echad Kore, Ushnai Metagim, and the Chiddush over here is that you can't even have one person read and two people Metagim. No, it has to be one person reading, that's for sure, and even the Metagim has to be only with one person. As Rashi points out, Kol Shekein Shein Shnayim Kore. If you're only allowed to have one person with Targum, you can't have two. So certainly you can't have more than one person read the Torah. And again, the reason, as we brought down before, here Rashi says it again, Mishum Detrei Kali Lo Mishtamiya, that you can't hear so well. If two people are going to say it, you're going to hear a little bit from Reuven, a little bit from Shimon, and you're not going to hear the whole thing from either one of them, and therefore it's not acceptable. So therefore, one person lanes and one person's with Targum. However, when you're dealing with Navi, Ubin Navi, when you're reading the Haftorah, Echad Kore, you still only have one person laning it. However, Ushnai Metagim, here, you would be allowed to have two people explaining what the Navi means. They would read the Targum Yonos and Azil, they would read the Targum of the Navi. And Rashi explains that Shatagim, in the case of the Navi, Eino Ela Lashmiya Lunoshim V'Yamei Aretz, She'eno Makirim B'Loshin HaKodesh. The purpose here of the Targum is just to let the people that don't know what the words mean, what they mean. For example, women who didn't go to Beis Yaakov's in those days, that was a relatively modern innovation. Otherwise, the women would learn by their mothers and by their babas and the elder babas, and they would learn in the house, but they lav dafka knew how to read, and they didn't understand Lashon HaKodesh. That was not the vernacular language, and they didn't have schooling, so therefore, they might not have known it. And likewise, the Amaratzim, the men that didn't know. So they would explain the Navi to them. But here, it's not so terrible if they didn't get every word because they know halachos. So even if they missed a word, if they missed something because there were two people saying it, it wouldn't be the end of the world. And therefore, they would allow two people to go and be metargim. The stomach, there were large rooms, and this way the two people will be able to be heard better. So even though it might distract people, you might not hear every word, it's not so terrible. As opposed to Chumash, if you miss something, they would be missing a halacha, you'd be missing an important concept, so therefore they didn't allow two people to be metargim. So for Navi, yes, for Chumash, no. And then the Braisa is, Ubavash, lo yushnayim korin, ushnayim metargim. Again, but you can't have two people reading the Navi because you're not going to be able to hear the words for certain from two different people, and therefore that's not allowed. But, however, the Braisa concludes, Ubahalel, in the recitation of Halel, or in the reading of the Megillah, Apilu asora korin, vasora metargim. You can even have 10 people simultaneously reading, and you can even have 10 people explaining it. Now, Rashi points out that Tzarmer Targum is incorrect, Lo Garcina, we shouldn't read this over here, Shein Targum B'Ksuvim, because it wasn't a formal Targum. Remember, we had earlier in the Masechta that Yonos ben Aziel wanted to be Metargum the Navi, and that caused a big rash. And they said, okay, fine, but you can't do Ksuvim. And therefore, there was no Targum Yonos ben Aziel on the Ksuvim, albeit there are other Targums on Ksuvim, but nevertheless, Rashi says, we're not goers the words over here, Vasorim and Targum, because that wasn't the custom. They didn't have somebody reading Targum on Megillah, and certainly not Bahalal. In any event, so Bahalal, Uba Megillah, you could even have multiple people reading at the same time. Asara, even Korin, and the reasoning is, my taima, because Kivon de Chaviva, it's so dear to us. People look forward to hearing the Megillah. People look forward to saying Halal. These are very special and joyous occasions, and people are so psyched for it, and they want to listen to every word carefully. Yoveh datayu, they'll really pay attention, v'shame, and be able to concentrate. I'm listening to Reuven the whole way through, and the Shimon Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, Zula, they're not disturbing me. I'm concentrating so hard. I'm following along so well for the Halal and the Megillah that we even allow multiple people to read it at the same time. Again, not an ideal situation, and it is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. If this isn't true, you're not able to follow along, no matter how dear it is to you. If Reuven's laning and Shimon is laning loud and he's disturbing you, so then this halacha doesn't apply. There's a practical application of chaviva. But if it's not true, then it doesn't apply, and you can't have more than one people, person laying the Megillah at the same time. And Lamaisa, I've never been in a shul where more than one person read the Megillah at the same time. And we do have problems hearing in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down many places that you should learn, you should lay the Megillah yourself quietly from a kosher Megillah, if possible, as the Chaz is reading, because it's almost impossible with one person reading it that you're not going to miss some words because either people are banging by humming too long, or they're just talking or shuffling or moving about. So therefore, it's actually suggests even from one person you might not be able to hear it. So Allah has kama for kama if multiple people are reading it. Halacha l'maisa. Then we call it the Mishnah. It says, Malkum Shinogu Levarach Yivarach. We said in a place where they have a custom to make a bracha, they make a bracha. A place that does have a custom to make the bracha, they wouldn't make the bracha. So under what circumstances, what bracha are we talking about? Amar Abai says, Lo Shano El Lechra. As I mentioned, this is where I got it from. Abai says, we're dealing here with the bracha Haravis Rivenu, the bracha that you make after the laning of the Megillah. However, I have all the bracha Lefaneha, the three brachas that you make before, and the Amikum Megillah, Shas Anisim, and Shechianu, Avo Lefaneha, Mitzvah Levarach. There is a mitzvah. Everybody agrees you have to make a bracha before you lay in the Megillah. The Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yehuda said, "Name Shmuel, call our mitzvos, every mitzvah, kulon, all of them, mevarach aleihem over lasiyosan." You have to make the bracha immediately prior to saying the laning or doing the mitzvah. You make a bracha over lasiyosan immediately right beforehand, and that is the halacha over here. The way we say the three brachos known as manach. Okay, Gemara says, and we have this Gemara in many, many places. What does it mean over lasiyosan? I said it means immediately right prior to doing the mitzvah. You always make the bracha. You want to take a glass of soda. So you pour the soda first, pour it into a cup, hold it in your right hand, and then you make the bracha. You don't make the bracha, then open up the soda, twist off the cap, pour the soda. No, you do it over the esyosin, immediately before you do it. You're shaking the lulav and esuk, you're holding it in your hands, the esuk upside down, as we learned in the Gemara Sukkah, or other ways that you're not yotzi the mitzvah yet, and then you make the bracha, and immediately you do the mitzvah over lasiyosan. So the Gemara questions, Maish Mashma, how do we know that this word over lasiyosan, the high over, means lishmo the akdumehu? How do we mean it means immediately prior to doing the mitzvah? Where do we see a source that over means immediately prior to doing it? So the Gemara gives us a number of terutzim. Amar of Nachum Yitzchak, he brings it down from the following pasuk. Amar Kra, the pasuk tells us in Shmuel Beis that Nebuch, when Abner was killed, so they were relaying to David the news. So Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, the prosuk tells us, Amar Kra Vayoretz Achimatz Derech HaKikor, Achimatz ran via the Kikor, Vayavar Es HaKushi, and he went ahead of the Kushi, the Ethiopian one, the one who was from Kushi, who was sent to tell David the news. So Achimatz ran faster than him, and he was over, he passed him. And that's what we see immediately prior to doing something, right before then, he passed. That's the lashon of over. Abaye has a different pasuk. Abaye Momi Hocha. Abaye says, from the following pasuk by Yaakov Avinu, that when he was reading Esav, coming back from Aram Naraim with his whole family, so the pasuk says, "Who are vaylufnam?" He went in front of them. So over is a lashon in front of them. Or alternatively, by Zayim Yochav from this pasuk says, "Vayavar malkom lufnam vashem beroshem." Pasuk from Micha where it says that their king went before them and Hakadosh Baruch Hu was at the head. Vayavar malkom lufnam vashem beroshem. So again, this lashon of vayavar shows immediately right prior to, in front of a lashon of beforehand. Lishna da'akadumehu. So we have three sukkim, or three sources over here for this idea. Now we're asked the question, which I've already mentioned already many times, lefaneh amayim mevarach. What's the bracha that you make before you read the Megillah? So Rav Sheshis, mikatrezaya. So Rav Sheshis, who came from a certain place, katrezaya, he said, ikla l'kamid Ravashi. He once happened to go in front of Ravashi, and he heard him uvarich manach, and he heard him saying the brachas of manach. Again, the mem is for mikro Megillah, the nun is for she'osa nisim, laboseinu, and the ches is for she'achiyanu, for the ches of the word in she'achiyanu. So this is known as manach. Li'acharea, what bracha do you make after you lay in the Megillah? Mayim uvarich, what's that bracha after the Megillah laying? So we say, and here we spell it out. Of course, the manach is also Hashem u'malchus. So here the Gemara spells it out. Baruch atah Hashem u'kenu melcholam. You make it Hashem u'malchus. And we have the Girsa HaKel, which is in parentheses. Many don't say that. They say, Haravis Riveinu, Vadon Ez Dineinu. You're the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are our king. That's why we don't say the word Hakel, because we just said Hashem Elokeinu. So Haravis Rivenu, you are the one who takes up all of our fights for us. You fight our fights for us. Hadonis Neni, you judge our dinim for us. Vanokim Is Mukseni, you take vengeance for us. And Vanifulon Mitzarenu, and you go and take payback from all of our enemies. And Vamashalim Gimul, and you go and get redemption for us, you take reimbursement for us, the Holy Redemption, for all those that did various things to us, you will extract from them their due payment to us, so to say. And we conclude with Baruch Ato Hashem, Hanifrol Yisrael, you're the one who goes and takes back for Klai Yisrael, you take the payment back for Klai Yisrael, and Kol Tzarem, from all of our enemies. That's how the first interpretation ends the bracha. Just Hanifrol Yisrael, Mikol Tzarem. That's the conclusion according to the first opinion. Rava, however, has a different conclusion. Instead of Hanifrol Yisrael and Kol Tzarem, Rava Mar Hakel HaMoshiah. You conclude the bracha with saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who will save us. He will bring us our Yeshua. Now, Amar Rapapa, Rapapa says, these both are such beautiful endings over here. Hilkach Nimrinu L'Tavayu. So we can say both of them. It's the same idea. Hanifrol Yisrael and Kol Tzarem is not a different idea than Hakel HaMoshiah. And they're both such beautiful expressions. So we say both. Rapapa says, Hilkach, therefore, we conclude the bracha with Baruch Ato Hashem, Hanifrol Yisrael Mikol Tzarem, and we also say Hakel HaMoshiah as one long bracha. It's a same idea. You now have two inyanim in a chasima, but it's one idea, and therefore we can say both of them. And that's the halacha l'maisa. And we quote the Mishnah and said, "V'sheni v'chamishi b'shabbes b'mincha u'b'shabbes b'mincha," as Rashi had said, "Korin shlosha v'chule." So at these times of laning, on Mondays and Thursdays and Shabbos afternoon, we lane only three people, not more, not less. So Gemara says, "Hani shlosha k'neged mi?" Where do we get this idea of three? Where does it come from? So we have two sources, so to say. Amar Ravasi, Ravasi says, "K'neged Torah neviim k'suvim." This is k'neged the Tanakh. So we have three people: one to teach us the idea of Torah, one to teach us the idea of neviim, one to teach us the idea of k'suvim. Rava Omar Kinet Kohan Levim Yisrael. Rava says it's to teach us the three types of members of Klai Yisrael. You have Kohan, you have Levim, and you have Yisraelim. Gemara says, wait a second. Elo hod the Tani Rav Shimi, but wait, how do you understand what Rav Shimi taught? Rav Shimi said, Ein Pochasin miyud psukim b'veis haKnesses. You're never allowed to have less than 10 psukim when you're laning. And he says, if you have even a pasuk that doesn't really tell us anything, like that doesn't tell us halacha, doesn't tell us something essential, like Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Vayidaber Olam Aminim, that can be included in one of the 10 psukim that you have to have. Now, Hani Asara Keneged Mi, if you're telling me that the three aliyahs that we have is Keneged either Tanakh, Torah Neviim K'suvim, or Keneged Kohan Levi Yisraelim, so then there must be a source for the 10 psukim at a minimum, that we have a minimum 10 psukim. What's the source for that? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rishu Levi. Rishu Levi answers Rav Shimi's statement, and he says, "Keneged asora batlonim shebeis haKnesses." Oh, we learned recently a number of times that you define a city as being a chosh of a city and not a little village if it can afford to have 10 people always present in the base of Knesset, so you always have a minion. And we had said these people may have other Klei Kodesh type of jobs. They could be the judges. They could be involved in other Klei Kodesh. But the bottom line is that they're always present in the shul. So every day at Shachar, it's in a mincha, you always have a minion. It gets HaKadosh Baruch Hu upset, kaviyocho, that you don't have a minion present. So therefore, these people are batlanim. They're being paid not to work. This is their job. They're being paid by the community. If you have a community that can afford to have 10 people always in the shul, so that's called a big city. Otherwise, it's called a smaller village. So that's the 10 is alluding to this idea of asara batlanim. Rav Yosef gives a different reason. Rav Yosef Amar, Keneged Aseres HaDibros, Shenem L'Moshe Misinai. It's Keneged the Aseres HaDibros. That's what we have to have psukim. Now, with the next statement we have in parentheses, it's not clear, not everybody was goresis over here. It's not found, it says on the side, this statement that we're about to make from Rav Levi is not found in the Rif and in the Rush. And they bring proofs that it's not being goris over here. In any event, we'll read it. This is the 10 phrases of Halukah that we find in the last 5 kapitlach of Tehillim. So it starts off with Halukah and it ends with Halukah. So that's the 10. So that's what it's alluding to. Fine. And finally, the last teretz we're going to have over here, the Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Geneged Asara Mamoros, Sheben Nivra Olam. This is the 10 words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that created the world. The world was created just by HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, this should occur, this should occur, this should be created. And there are 10 Mamoros. It says 10 times Vayomer Hashem. And therefore, that's the 10 is to allude to this idea. While we have 10 psukim in his minimum to allude to this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with just saying so, and it became into being. Now, what are these 10? Hay ninhu. Vayomer the Bereshis. It says 10 times Vayomer in Bereshis. Where it says, but it doesn't. It only says 9. Hani tishav. If you go count up Vayomer Hashem, Hiyar. So it says it only 9 times. It doesn't say 10 times. So the Gemara says, Yutaka, right? However, Bereshis, Baral Ukim, Ezra Shemayim Vesaritz, is also a Mimer. That's also considered one of the 10. Bereshis Nami Mimerhu. The Pasuk says, Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, Uberuach Piv Kotswam, that the Pasuk tells us in Tehillim that just with the word of Hashem, everything was created, and just by his mouth. And therefore, so there were these 10 Mamoros, the 9 Vayomers, and Bereshis Bar Lakim. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says we allude to by having a minimum of 10 Psukim whenever we lay. Okay, now, Amar Rava. Rava tells us, Rishon, we have to divide up 10 Psukim into 3 people. So somebody's going to have 4 Aliyahs. So Rava tells us, if the Rishon, the first person, the Kohen, who gets the Aliyah, Shekara Dalit Meshuvach, that's very, very praiseworthy. If the way we break up the 10 Psukim is 4 and then 3, that's very praiseworthy. But likewise, Sheni Shekara Dalit Meshuvach, if you have the Levi reading the Dalit Psukim, you have a 3-4-3 configuration, that's also perfectly fine. That's Meshuvach, that's praiseworthy. And guess what? Even if the third person, the Yisrael, Shlishi Shekara Dalit, if he's the one, it's a 3-3-4 breakdown of the 10 psukim, also Meshubach, that's also considered praiseworthy. Now, where do we get the sources for all of these? So, Rishon Shekara Dalit Meshubach, where do we see that if the first person, the Kohen Aliyah, gets the 4 psukim, that's praiseworthy? Ditnan, that's based upon the following Mishnah that we have in Shkolim. It tells us there that when they take out the Trumas HaLishka, they collected the Matzis HaShekel, they would put it into containers that were labeled Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, and then they would go be Torim the Lishka when they needed to take out the funds, so they would go and take it from these kupos, these containers. So it says over there in Shkolim, Bisholosh kupos, there were 3 baskets over there, each one of them containing shalosh soyin, 3 soyin, a certain measure's worth of coins. Shemem torim es lishka. They would take the coins from there to be torim the lishka. And it says, "Vaya kosev alein aleph beis gimel." These baskets were marked. The first one was aleph, second one was beis, third one was gimel. And leida, why did they mark them? What difference does it make? They should know the aleph was put in first. Leida ezem yen nitrumel rishon lahakri min rishon. So they should take from the aleph basket that was put in first. They should take first from that one. So you see, shemitz rishon, that it's more of an idea that you should take from the first one first. So therefore, when you have the extra pasuk, this is the source that the extra pasuk were given to the first one. As fast as you can, read the 4 psukim, and then afterwards you do the 3 and the 3. So therefore, this is why it's praiseworthy if the Kohen gets the 4 psukim. Where do we see that it's praiseworthy if the Levi, the second Aliyah, were to get the 4 psukim? Emsoi, Shekar Abba Meshubach, where do we see that from? The Tanya, we have a brisa. It says, Elmul Penei HaMenorah Yiru Shivas HaNeiros. So it says that all of the menorahs, the 7 lamps of the menorah, they would face towards the middle one. Now, there's a machlokas, if you remember correctly, there was 2 ways as to possibly how the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was oriented. It could either be oriented in the east-west orientation, and this doesn't apply, this din that we're saying over here wouldn't apply in that situation, because the Ner HaMarabi is actually the second most eastern one, but it's west compared to the eastern one. So if you're in an east-west orientation, then the Ner HaMaravi is actually the second from the east, and it's Maravi compared to the first one from the east, and everyone is pointing, they're all directed towards the west, more towards the inner Holy of Holies. So here we're talking about, according to the opinion, it says that the menorah was arranged in the north to south orientation. So here, all of them are equal in their east-west orientation. So the candles that are to the north of the middle candle, they're facing towards the middle candle. And the candles that are to the south of the middle candle, they're facing towards the middle candle, and the middle candle is facing towards the west orientation. So Malami, Shemitzadeh Pineim Klapi Ner Marabi. So the candles to the north and south, the 3 to the north, 3 to the south, are all facing towards the middle candle. The Ner Marabi Klapi Shlina, and the middle one, that's pointing more towards the west, towards the Shlina, the Holy of Holies. And Vamar Yochanan, Mikan Shem Tsoi Meshubach, here you see that the middle one is the most praiseworthy. And therefore, that's why if the Levi Aliyah gets the four psukim, that is praiseworthy. And finally, where do we see that if the Yisrael gets it, it's also considered praiseworthy? Again, another doesn't make any difference. Halacha l'maisa, you can break up the psukim any way you want. 4-3-3, 3-4-3, or 3-3-4, all of them are perfectly acceptable. Where do we see for the Achron, Shekorah, Arbor, that's Mishubach, Mishum, Ma'al, and Mikosh, Shulam, and Reading, because we always go up in Kedusha. So if you started off with 4, it would be incorrect to go down to 3, albeit you're allowed to, but therefore we start off with 3, go to 3, and then we elevate and go to 4. So therefore, all of these possible ways to break up the Tem Psukim are perfectly good. Rav Papa once went to Davin in the Beis Knesset, was in a city called Avi Gover, and Vekara Rishon Arba, and the Kohen got the first 4, and the Shabche Rav Papa, Rav Papa was very happy with that, and he gave them a lot of praise and said, you're doing it right. Zrizim Makdim Lemitzos, while all three ways are praiseworthy, Rav Papa seemed to suggest that doing it right away is that's something that's especially praiseworthy as well. Now, this minimum amount of having 10 psukim is always followed with the one exception on Purim morning when we read Vayavo Amalek. So there we have only 3 for the Kohen, 3 for the Levi, and 3 for the Yisrael. So everybody asks, how can you do this? So the idea over here is that if it's an entire sugya, so this is an entire sugya of 9 psukim, so you don't have to go and add on something else. And the same din is brought down by the Haftorah, that the Haftorah, which was Keneged the Elias, at one point in time they didn't let us learn from the Torah, and therefore the rabbi set up reading 21 psukim from the Haftorah, so each person would have the 7 Elias on Shabbos, would be represented by 3 psukim, because that was the minimum amount, so they would have a Haftorah that was 21 psukim, but as you look at the Haftorah, it's not everyone has 21 psukim, so again, that was an idea, and you should have 21 psukim. But if you have a complete sugi for the Haftorah, there's less than 24 psukim, that is acceptable as well. Just like on Purim, it's acceptable to have only 9 psukim. That's the exception that proves the rule. So too, the Haftorahs that are less than 21 psukim are the exceptions that prove the rule. Then we say the Mishnah, in Monday or Thursday or in Shabbos afternoon, we're not allowed to have less than 3 aliyahs, but you're not allowed to have more than 3 aliyahs as well. And then the Mishnah had said as well, that only the first person getting the aliyah makes a bracha beforehand, and only the last person getting the aliyah makes a bracha afterwards. Not every single person makes a bracha before and afterwards. Tana, we learn in the rights, ha-poseyach mevorach lefonel, v'chosei mevorach lecherel. The first one who gets the aliyah, the bright says, just like our Mishnah, he makes a bracha beforehand, and only the last one who gets the aliyah makes the bracha afterwards. However, as I mentioned, here's where I got it from, the Gemara says, v'yidna, nowadays, we all know that the kul v'varchei lefonel lechera. Every person getting aliyah makes the bracha asher bracha bonim beforehand, asher nos lona teras emes afterwards. So you have 7 aliyahs on the Shabbos. So you're going to have 7 people making the bracha. And maftir, he makes the bracha before and afterwards. Everybody makes the bracha before and afterwards. Why? Hainu time with the kinu rabbanon gezer mishum anechnosim mishum ayotzim. The reason why the rabbi set this up that nowadays we always make the bracha is because we're concerned the people that will come in late and they'll see, for example, that they're laying from the Torah without making a bracha. They're going to say, oh, you're allowed to lay from the Torah without making a bracha. Or the people that leave early, they'll see that the aliyah number 5 didn't make a bracha. They'll say, oh, you don't make a bracha at the conclusion of the leini. So for the people that are coming in late and the people that are going to leave early, so we want to make sure that they know that you have to make a bracha before and after the leini. So therefore, we set up for every aliyah. Since you're not allowed to leave in the middle of an aliyah, nobody's going to be leaving then. And therefore, even if they leave ben gavra le gavra, they'll see that you make a bracha before the leini and you make a bracha after the leini. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah. It says, on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, we only have 4 aliyahs. Korah, Na'abah, V'chulei, you can't have more, you can't have less. Barmine Ula, Bar Rav Me Rava, Ula, who's the son of Rav, asked Rav the following Shaila, Parashas Rosh Chodesh, Ketzad Korah Noso. We have a problem with Rosh Chodesh, because, as we all know, on Rosh Chodesh, we duplicate a pasuk. We say the pasuk by Kohen, the Amar Tulehem, and we say it by Levi, the Amar Tulehem. So we actually, I'm giving you the answer beforehand, because you don't have enough psukim. If you didn't repeat the pasuk Yomar to Lehem, so therefore you'd have a person getting less than 3 psukim, which is not allowed. So Ula Barav is asking from over the question, how are you supposed to break up the leining on Rosh Chodesh? Because there's going to be scenarios that you don't have enough psukim for an aliyah for one person to get 3 psukim. Now exactly, what is the shaila? So he points out, we learn from Chamishi and Parshas Pinchas, Tzavis Meisov Yomar to Lehem, Kubini Lachmi, Lishai, etc., Davion Tamnaya Psuke. You start off, there are 8 psukim before you get to V'yom HaShabbos. Now, how are you going to divide that up? Hechi Navik, what are you supposed to do for the actual leining? Again, everybody knows the answer, but this is the Gemara where everybody got the answer from. So, you have 8 psukim at the beginning for Kohen and Levi. Nikrei Trei, Tlasa, tlasa, psukim. Let each of them, the Kohen, be three psukim. Let the Levi be three psukim. So you use up six of the eight psukim. We're in good shape. But then you have two psukim left over. Pashalu trei. And that's a problem, because if you call up the next person to read two psukim, you're not allowed to stop an aliyah if it's two psukim before a break. So therefore, they mishayim v'parasha pachos v'shosha psukim. Because if the person leaves after the Levi is aliyah, he's going to say, oh, there's only two psukim left till the next break. You're allowed to read less than three psukim. You can read two psukim. So therefore, ein mishayim v'parasha, you're not allowed to leave over before the next break, either a pey or a samach. We have an opening or a psuch or a stuma type of a pause. You're not allowed to have less than two psukim till that point, because it could lead to a mistake. So therefore, you can't pause over there, because ein mishayim parasha pachos b'shlosh psukim. Fine. So let him each read four. Everything is good. Nikre arbor, let the Kohen read four psukim. That's no problem. Let the Levi read four psukim. Arbor, that's no problem. And now there's no concern over here. But how many psukim do you have left? We have Yom HaShabbos, that's two psukim, and Rosh HaChodeshim, that's five psukim. Parshul Shiva, you only have seven psukim left. Over Yom HaShabbos, Havin Trei, Rosh HaChodesh, Havin Chamisha, as I just said. So now, you got a problem. Hechi Navid, how are you going to read for the person getting the third aliyah? Nikre Trei, you're just going to read Yom HaShabbos, Nikre Trei, Mihov, Chami Hanoch. So you're going to have, he'll read two psukim from Yom HaShabbos, and he'll read the first pasuk of Rosh HaChodeshim, that's a problem. If you turn to Chav Beis Amud Aleph, because a maschilim b'parsha pachos b'shosh psukim, because now the fourth person is going to be starting off one pasuk after a stuma or a psucha, before a parsha, and then a person coming in at that point in time is thinking that the person who got the aliyah beforehand only read one pasuk. So therefore, you can't have the third person get the two psukim of Yom HaShabbos and the first pasuk of Rosh HaChodeshim. Okay, so likrei trei miha utlasa miyach. So let the person who got the third aliyah read the two of Yom HaShabbos, and let him read three psukim from Rosh HaChodeshim, and therefore there's no problem. He's reading five psukim, but that's no good, because then there's only two psukim left. Parshul Utrei, there's only two psukim left for the last aliyah, the fourth aliyah. So we're stuck. So that's what Ula Barav asked Rava, how do you go break up the Rosh Chodesh Leini? So we all know the answer, Amalo. Rava said to Ula Barav, this I never heard as to what you should do on Rosh Chodesh, Zulo Shamati. However, Kayotzi Bo Shamati, I heard a similar scenario where it's discussed in the Mishnah in Tainis, where we have by the Ma'amados. We just had this a short time ago. We just finished Tainis, and we remind ourselves that we learned over there that when each Mishmor went up, so there was Klai Yisrael went up as well, and they would have people to observe the Korbanos of Klai Yisrael being brought on their behalf. How could it be that the Baal is bringing carbon, he's not present? And similarly, they had in the cities, these people from the Mishmar would do the Ma'amados. They would learn from the Torah through the week that they were on call, so to say, in their local cities, and they would read from Bereishis. Now, there, in the Mishnah in Tainis, it said, Bayom HaRishon, on Sunday, they would read Bereishis V'Hirokia. They would read the first eight psukim. Now, you had Bereishis as five psukim, and V'Hirokia was three psukim. And how do you break that up? Again, you need nine psukim. It's only eight. The Tanya Law, so we learned in the Brights on that Mishnah in Tainis, where it taught us as follows. Bereishis B'Shnaim. You read the first five psukim with two people, and Hirokia, which is three psukim, B'Echad. Now, how do you do that? Vavina, but we asked over there, Bishlam, Yirakia, Biachod, the last three psukim, one person gets aliyah, no problem. It's three psukim, it's one aliyah, no problem. The tlosa psuke havu, because it's three psukim. Okay. El, the first five psukim, how are you going to break it up with two people? El, Bereishis, Mishnaim, how are you going to break it up? Chamisha psuke havu, it's five psukim. How can you break up five into two separate three psukim allotments? So we have two terutz. First, the Gemara says, we're not allowed to break it up into less than three psukim. Chamisha psuki havo, v'tanya hakori b'tor, lo yifchos mishlosha. So how do you break it up? Yitmar law. So we answered, how do you break up these five psukim with two terutzim? And we paskin like Rav. Rav amar doleg. Rav says you repeat one of the psukim. So you read in Bereishis the first five psukim. So the Kohen gets the aliyah 1, 2, and 3. Psukim 1, 2, and 3. And then Levi reads 3, 4, and 5. So Rav amar doleg, you repeat, you say one pasuk over again. And that's, by the way, what we do, of course, on Rosh Chodesh. The Kohen reads the first three psukim, 1, 2, and 3, and the third one is V'amarta Lohem, and then the Levi reads 3, 4, and 5, and that's how we get the five psukim for the first two aliyahs. So just like they did on the Ma'amados, that's what we do on Rosh Chodesh, and we pasuk like this Rav amar doleg. Shmuel says, no, what you do is you split the third pasuk. So the Kohen Aliyah reads pasuk 1, 2, and half of 3. So that's 3 psukim. So you read 1, 2, and 0.5. And then the Levi, he reads the second half of Pasuk 3, the point 5, and then 4 and 5. So that's also 3 psukim. Not a complete 3 psukim, Shmuel says. 2.5 psukim is rounded off to 3, and that is fine. Now, the Gemara in tomorrow's Shia, I'm going to stop over here. Gemara in tomorrow's Shia will explain Rabu Shmuel Shita and continue in this discussion as to what we do on Rosh Chodesh and why. I've already given this the answer, so you know the punchline, but we'll, Mirtz Hashem, go through the derivations, which again is a repetition of what we did in the Gemara in Tainis, so it's a good chance to chazer. With this, we conclude today's Shia.